Welcome to Our Sleeve Life podcast, hosted by Kelly and Mel, two lifelong friends who took control of their lives by having gastric sleeve surgery 5 years apart. This podcast is for you, our listeners, whether you're pre-op, post-op, maintaining, being a support person, or maybe none of these, but this is your podcast. Now it's time for the show.
Me or you?
You. Okay.
All right. Welcome back, guys, to Our Sleeve the Life. We are talking about bypass versus sleeve.
Yes.
Which is gastric bypass surgery versus gastric sleeve surgery. And we have a guest with us today, and his name is Zach. And say hi, Zach.
Hello.
And we've known Zach for a long freaking time.
When did I meet you? Eighth grade?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
14. I can't even do math right now. So it's been a long time.
Almost 19 years.
Yeah, it's been quite a while.
That's been a long time.
We've talked off and on for 19 years. Holy shit.
Yeah.
And we lived together before.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are the times.
Oh, so much fun.
Holy fuck.
Right?
Yes. And so we are really interested to see what the differences between our surgeries are.
Oh, this will be fun.
Yes, it will be a lot of fun. Yeah. So, first thing is, can you give everybody your stats?
Okay. My heavyweight was 450 about a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Okay.
Started through the program. I ended up losing about 50 pounds.
Okay.
Had surgery. I was at 396 on February 7th of 2019.
Okay. So last year.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm at 242 now.
Holy hell.
So what's the total?
209 pounds.
That is insane.
Holy shit. Good job, dude.
Yeah.
It's definitely different.
Congratulations. Yeah. That is amazing. We are also going to have a side-by-side picture of Zach on our Instagram when this episode drops, so you should be able to go on our Instagram as soon as you listen to this episode and go see the crazy difference between a year ago to now.
It's definitely crazy.
Yeah. And how old are you?
35.
Okay. Sounds good. So what was your why?
My two kids.
Yeah.
The main reason. There was a lot of things. Went to Disney, couldn't get into any of the cars or the rides, and they're like, I'm not even going to walk out there to try to sit in this thing and get one leg stuck.
Oh, yeah.
So I did the whole, I'm afraid to go on rides, and I don't like rides, and so I just sat there and watched. So not being able to participate in any of the things the kids want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't ride a bike because, you know, a fat guy on a little bicycle doesn't go over well.
Yeah.
And so it just, that was the main drive, was me being single and having the two girls that more relied on me than their mom. And so that's what I did.
And how long have you been divorced?
God.
Forever, apparently.
9 years. Nine years.
All right.
So
it took you a little while to get to
that.
8 years
ago, became single.
Yep.
And then you took care of the two girls.
Yeah, we separated, divorced, were apart for about a year, got back together. Tried it again for a little while, and then about 3 years ago, I think, is when I finally...
There's no more?
No.
Okay. So then did you... Is that when you started getting bigger and bigger? Did you notice? Like, what was
I
going on?
Bigger, yeah, when we got back together.
Okay.
Because it was comfort?
Emotional eating. You were miserable, so you find that something to help you cope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So...
That's what your control is?
Yep. Was.
Yeah. Well, was. Yeah. Yes.
Was.
Good catch.
Good job. Definitely was.
What were your things that you were eating before?
Mostly pizza and burgers.
Okay.
Chips.
Got it.
A lot of soda.
As he looks soda in front of him.
Yep.
Don't judge me. That's my one for the day. Keeps the headaches away.
I'm judging hard.
That's fine. I'm judging hard. You can enjoy your protein shake with yogurt.
I will, because it's delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can go find that on our exclusive content, because I made it on there.
Yep, and it's so good.
It is.
Yeah. It's perfect for a midday pickup. So why did you decide on bypass?
That was actually the only thing that Kaiser Permanente offers.
Okay, so you went through Kaiser Permanente. Yeah,
they don't do the other one. They just, their doctors prefer that one because it has, they say, more, less complications, more long-term results type. Okay. I think they just preferred that one over the other one. And they do a lot of, the way it was explained is they end up doing a lot of revisions on people that have had the sleeve, you know, 5, 6, 8, 10 years down the road to bypass. So
just
skip the step.
Interesting.
Can you, I don't know. I didn't
Look that up.
Yep, that was their reasoning.
So, no, but what do you mean by revision? So,
so what they say is that people that have had the sleeve, they, because the sleeve can be removed and stretches back out, what ends up happening is people gain all the weight back. And so then they won't re-sleeve you. They will go in and do the permanent because the bypass is the final. There's nothing else they can do after that.
Yeah. Okay.
And there are some people that definitely, like, they go through the revision of the sleeve. Because you can redo it. And then it ends up working the second time around, or it doesn't, and then you have to move on to bypass. But we'll have to look that up.
No, I heard something about that before. But I was still in my head, I was like, I don't want something to be rerouted.
Right. Yeah.
I was really nervous about that. I was wanting like less time under the knife was what like my brain was going to.
Yeah.
Well, and my thing was is they, it's also the mentality part leading up to it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, when it first became a big thing, went to Mexico for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like you call, you make an appointment, you fly down, you're in and out and done.
Yeah.
Where like Kaiser, it's a year-long program. You got steps and classes.
Wow.
And
wow.
It took me from when I took my first class, I think was in January, and it was an entire year before I had the surgery.
Wow. So what did you have to do? What were these classes?
It was 12 classes, first 12 weeks. It was just like a healthy nutrition class to teach you eating habits and changing this and that. Okay. And then after you did that, you went to an orientation, which then told you about what's all involved in the surgery, what they're going to do, and what lifestyle changes. And then they usually have like a month to 2 months in between just because they got so many people wanting to do it.
Got it. Okay.
And so that's what stretches it out a lot. But it also gives you time to, instead of like doing one step and then going right to the next one, and it's like, it gives you time to work on your weight
and
your changes.
And yeah.
So then after that one, then the third step is like you meet with a dietitian.
Okay.
And then they look over all your stuff and the psychiatrist, you talk with them. Then it's like 6 weeks and you go back and meet with them again. And then if they like what they see, like the changes, then they let you do your blood work and you got to do like an ultrasound of your gallbladder if you still have it. Because apparently that has something to do with it. I don't know.
Okay.
And then after that, if everything looks good, they have the doctor meet with you and then he decides to go or if he wants you to do more time. And then once he says yes, then you just call him.
So that year isn't for everybody. Like it's all adjusted to the person.
No, it's pretty much you can guarantee from the the first day of class that you're going to be at least a year out.
Okay.
I kind of like that what you're doing though.
Yeah.
It seems like you're getting so prepared.
That was the big thing, and that's why their success rate at Kaiser was so high, was because of the amount of steps they've gone through.
Yeah.
But the problem they're having now is they have so many people wanting to do it that you're two and a half months between steps.
Wow.
And so people get discouraged.
Oh, because it's taking so long?
Yeah. So now they've started an accelerated program where you're supposed to be able to be in and out in 6 months, like from start to surgery.
I was 6 months.
So but I know that I feel like 6 months wouldn't have been enough for me to like wrap my head around
it. You needed that more intense therapy and nutrition advice and all of that.
And the hardest thing I found is finding someone that specializes in weight problems as a psychiatrist.
Yes. Yes.
Most people don't. Mm-hmm. They try to look for all sorts of other problems.
Yep.
Instead of just understanding that food is what you use for your problems.
It's an addiction.
Yeah.
And
mouth pleasure makes you feel better.
Mouth pleasure, as Melanie likes to call it.
Yeah, because that's what it is.
It is. I mean, it's literally giving you pleasure for, you know, 20 seconds or whatever that you're.
Yeah, because like with cooking, like you'll cook your food mm-hmm. and you're doing it and you're like feeling it. And yeah. then you eat it and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. like I did that.
It gives so you get excited. Yeah,
and exactly. now you feel good for at least yeah. a little while.
Yeah.
You know.
But then it wears off and right. you're still left with those same.
Yeah, it does nothing. That's the one thing you can control is mm-hmm. what you could eat.
Yeah. yeah.
You can't control anything else in your life. You can't mm-hmm. control how happy your spouse made you, your mm-hmm. job, anything else. But mm-hmm. that whole pizza that you just went and got with extra cheese, you controlled the extra cheese.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so
exactly.
you're going to eat that entire thing. And yep. then you're going to be sad because there's no leftovers. And mm-hmm. you're going to be miserable because you just ate that whole pizza. Yep. But it felt good for the 20 minutes you were eating it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. And now, how do you deal with that now?
The eating thing,
mm-hmm.
I still look at food, but okay. I can't eat like I do.
Yeah.
I've actually started drinking more than I used to.
Okay.
That's a big side effect of the surgery.
It is transfer addiction.
Yep.
Yep.
Some days I'll go and I won't drink for a week. And lately, depending on how work goes, it's like, oh, I'm ready for another drink or what's yeah. going on in my life. Let's have another drink.
Yeah.
And so I catch myself and I have people around me that lecture me and, you know, hey, mm-hmm. if you want to talk, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes I just enjoy sitting on the couch and having a drink.
Okay.
But so you're just enjoying the alcohol itself or are you
using it to cope?
I think it starts as a crappy day mm. and using it to cope. And then mm. it's like, oh, well, I feel good.
Mm.
And let's have another one.
Okay.
In the beginning, when I first started drinking again mm-hmm. after surgery, it would be one and I'd be completely content because yeah. the nice thing about it is you're sober after 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So no matter how quick you drink, 45 minutes, you're like, all right, well, that was fun, I guess.
That's why you yeah. drink so much in that time period.
Yes.
Okay. Because you know. Because you don't want it to wear off.
Yeah. And you okay. know in 45 minutes, you're going to be completely sober again.
I okay. do that with weed, basically. But I feel like what it is, it's self-medicating. It's what's happening.
Yeah.
So, like, whether you're taking an antidepressant or you're taking, or I'm smoking weed or you're drinking alcohol, it's like an antidepressant is what you're using. Yeah. It.
Coping, so using it as
coping. It's a coping mechanism.
And you are completely aware that you are using it as a coping mechanism.
Yep. Okay. Because I know there's a certain job that I do at work that I absolutely cannot stand. And mm. I can guarantee you every day after that job, I'm drinking.
Yeah. Mm.
But I don't do it very often, and it's just how it works.
Okay.
And if anybody out there is not dealing with the transfer addiction well, just reach out to your therapist.
Yeah,
or find a therapist.
Yeah.
You can Google that very easily.
Get some hotlines on this one.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep. You need to...
Because that's a thing.
Be aware that transfer addiction is a huge... side effect
yeah,
of the surgery because you are giving up something that you have used your entire life to cope with.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Yeah, because you use food to cope. And so now you have to figure mm-hmm. out how do I cope with this now?
Yep.
And like with mine, I got really addicted to working out. Like mm-hmm. that's...
You did.
I got like insane about it. I was doing like two a days.
Yep.
I do it in the morning, do it at night. And then...
And your husband actually mentioned it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, you're doing two a days. Cause I'd be so hard on myself. I'd be like, oh, I feel like I had too much of like steak, even yeah. though like steak's fine. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I ate too much. Like I felt like I shouldn't have been able to do that. I was mm-hmm. like, oh, I ate a little bit more than normal.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, oh, I need to go work out. And it'd just be ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's like, we don't even need to do two a days anymore. Stop. Yeah.
I think with my transfer was from eating everything in sight to not eating enough.
Yeah.
So I don't eat enough. Like when I got here to record this episode, Melanie's like, have you eaten today? And I'm like, oh, no.
That's like, well, the hardest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is
to remind yourself to eat.
Yeah, like forcing yourself to eat because like nothing sounds good anymore.
Yeah.
You don't enjoy food like you used to.
Oh, okay. You're in that stage.
So you're like,
okay.
Yeah, I just don't feel like that. And that doesn't sound good. And I don't want to struggle because sometimes this is good and sometimes it gets stuck. And it's like, yeah, just I don't feel like it.
Dude, it's so normal. That is so fucking normal. Like, everything turned into a salad and I get very angry.
Salad angry.
Because I love salad, but also like...
But you get tired of it.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
My thing was I love sandwiches.
But you can have the bread.
I can't have the bread. So everything that I want turns into a goddamn salad. Mm-hmm. And I hate it. Even my taco salad, like...
See, but I can eat bread.
So you still eat bread?
There's nothing I don't eat.
You just do eat it in moderation?
Oh, there's... like, for instance, if I get a sandwich from Subway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's... A 6-inch and it takes me all day to eat it.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, you're in the. I've done that. Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm trying to scarf it down.
Yeah.
I chew it really good to get it where it's all processed.
Yeah.
But with the job I have, I can't sit there and eat a salad. My hands are usually covered in grease or dirt or something.
Yeah.
So I need something I can just grab and, you know, you don't have time to go and sit and enjoy a lunch somewhere.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to be an asshole to you.
That's normal.
Okay.
I mean, go ahead.
That's normal.
Because we're going to be honest on podcast.
We are always honest on here.
If maybe if you swap that up to a protein shake. Because that is something you can do on the go. And I know it's a pain in the ass. But you already don't like what you're going to eat anyway. So why put the bread in you? And I only say this as I... This last year, I fell in love with fucking Jimmy John's.
Which is so good.
But they pull a lot of the bread out of Jimmy John's sandwiches, so you were doing fine.
What?
They pulled the center out. You ever watched Megan?
Yeah. That right there is Zach.
So that's justifying
logic.
It.
Yeah.
No,
Zach we're not going to justify everybody.
But no, this is what you do, though. This is exactly what happens, is I was justifying it because I would get the original, right?
Yeah.
And they cut it in half. And that's like, it's a 4-inch on each side. I would wrap the one side, put it in the fridge for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd instantly just, and then I would slowly eat that for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And one of the guys at work was making fun of me before. He's like, you take forever to eat.
But he didn't know you had surgery.
No. Okay. He had no idea. No fun. He doesn't deserve to know that shit. Fuck that guy. Fuck that guy.
Mm-mm. If you're that guy. You heard what Melanie said.
You know, there's several douches at my work, so they're all going to be like, is that me?
I don't know.
Well, just think about it a little bit.
This could be me.
If you act a little douchey,
it could be you.
I love all of you. Yeah, all of you. But yeah, so I get the justification, but I did gain 10 pounds over this last year, and I'm very angry about it. So I'm running now to try to get that 10 back off.
Yeah.
And it's harder now because I'm a normal person now. Because 5 years later, like, all this...
kind of settled in.
Yep. So just be aware of it. Just be aware. I mean, I realize I'm not even a year out, but I don't eat bread. I don't eat rice.
You shouldn't.
I literally just started eating potatoes because I don't get enough carbs in my day.
Yeah.
Kelly went really restrictive. Yeah. So what I think what's happening is, like, so Kelly went way restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
I went, like, I'm going to go exactly to the T because I want all of the food. And then you're eating still, like, the same things that you have before.
Yeah, it's just small things. You know, if I have a cheeseburger, it's half of it. If it's...
Yeah. You're portioning it out.
Yeah, because it's one of those you can't eat anymore. You feel it. I get the hiccups when I'm full.
Yep.
And so it's like that or a runny nose.
I've heard, didn't we talk about that? Yeah, we talked about that.
The odd things that happen.
Yeah.
So that's just how it works. You just kind of adjust to it. But that's why I switched jobs also, is because my job sitting for 9 hours a day to go up to Seattle and back down, I got 800 steps an entire day.
Wow, that's not good.
And I didn't have to unload anything. The worst I had to do was get out and drop a trailer and hook back up to it. That's no work at all.
No.
Wow.
Now I'm working on a construction site and I walk 15 to 18,000 steps a day and lifting
Which
and moving.
Is
and
really good.
That's why I've maintained the same weight for the last 6 months.
Yep.
Even with my poor eating, but I don't have to work out because I get it every day.
That's how Kelly is.
Yep. Yeah. Because I get the same, like in a 5 hour period, I'll do 12 to 15,000 steps. And so it's
a lot.
I didn't have to go to the gym.
No,
and because I was so active and I was lifting and like it's the whole thing of like when you're lifting, you're squatting, like you're doing all the things that you would be doing in a gym.
Yeah. Yep.
You're just doing it at work.
Yep. And that's why I was like, I didn't want to switch jobs because the money was good, but I knew that the surgery wouldn't be effective had I stayed where I was.
That's very smart of you.
That is really, that is amazing. Good job. Yeah. We're giving you a little applaud on that one.
Yeah, good job.
Works for me and then
not on the sandwich bread. Well, but
because you can do good things. Like, that was a great conscious level. You're like, all right, I'm going to fuck this up if I don't switch jobs. So I'm going to do this.
Well, and not only did you change your entire life, but I mean, you added that also into that. Like, so you literally changed your entire life to get the surgery.
Yep.
That's amazing.
That's dedication.
Yeah. So yeah, I like it. So we talked about your pre-op. How was your post-op?
Yeah. Like right in the beginning.
Yeah. So like within those first couple of weeks.
Like even just waking up, because we did that one.
So when they had trouble waking me up.
Okay.
I was the first surgery in the morning, and so check-in was 5:30. I think that surgery started at 7, what it was.
Okay.
And I would wake up, and then I'd go right back to sleep. Mm. And I think a lot of it was because I was working so much before that to finally just sleep when I'd been trying to get so much done before the surgery.
Okay.
I'm used to like 4 hours of sleep a night. So to finally be able to sleep, I just wanted to catch up.
Yeah.
But by the time I was actually able to see, because my mom took me up there, was actually back in the room where she could see me, it was about 4 p.m.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So it was, and I would wake up like, you really need to get up. Like, you need to wake up. You're starting to concern us. Your blood pressure's low, blah, 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 blah.
Oh.
And I didn't want to get up. I was enjoying my nap.
Well, I mean, obviously you're fine.
Yeah.
But
it had them worried.
Of course.
Because usually they said the first surgery, the person's usually awake by like noon.
Yeah, I think I was awake pretty quickly.
I was up within, 2 hours, I think, of my surgery.
But,
yeah. Okay. Well.
And then how was that?
I could see the concern because of how heavy you were. Because how heavy were you when you went into surgery?
400.
Yeah.
396.
So they're nervous about you not moving around because, like, if you don't start, blood flow.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you kind of need the blood flow to survive your life.
Keep going.
So. How was your, did you have any gas pain?
No.
None?
Nice.
Wow. You're lucky.
I was in pain just from like the surgery type thing. He said he had a little trouble with my size kind of getting in there, so I was in a little more pain.
Right.
I laid in bed that first day, and then the second day I just spent in the chair.
Okay.
Well, the afternoon of the surgery, I laid in bed. And then the next day, they pretty much said I wasn't allowed to be in bed. I had to be in the chair. Okay. And so I'd get up and wander, and I was afraid to eat. So they had a little cup of protein shake. And
So scared.
How was that first sip?
To be honest?
Yes.
I could go the rest of my life with never drinking a protein shake again. That 2 weeks before, it was the 2 weeks before, it was supposed to be 6 shakes a day. And that was it.
Okay, so you were on a liquid diet for 2 weeks prior?
2 weeks.
Oh, Kelly was too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so what happened was there was 6 shakes the first day. It was like 5 the second, 5 the third, and then 4, 3. I literally didn't eat anything but water and chicken bouillons for the salt, the little cubes.
Yep.
You would suck on those until they were too salty and throw it away.
Oh, my God. How could you do that?
You couldn't. That's maybe disgusting. 5 or 10 seconds, but you didn't. The water wasn't sitting because I didn't eat for almost a week. No, just a little bit of water, no food, nothing. It was miserable.
Because you thought, what happened with the protein shakes?
I couldn't do it anymore. They were too thick. I tried different kinds. I just couldn't. It went down and wanted to come right back up.
Oh.
So it's like, so I lost 30 pounds just on the liquid diet.
Wow. Nice. Good job.
But coming out of surgery, they put that in front of me. I'm like, I really don't like you guys. So the first sip, and it was warm. Protein shakes warm.
So bad. It's so gross.
The worst.
And for some reason, they supply
Kelly
Boost.
Needs to drink hers just in case that happens.
I'm getting there. I'm drinking a protein shake right now.
But they supply that Boost glucose at the hospital, and that is...
What's that?
It's just like a protein shake. No, it's a protein shake, but it has this chalky flavor to it that is absolutely horrible.
Ugh.
That's not good.
And
that's
so they're like, here, have some of this. I'm like, no, I tried that during that step.
I
love how
you're telling these people no. I would just do it.
Yes. No,
no, I just did it.
Nope. I'm like, no, I got a Premier in my bag. Oh, okay. And that's what I was drinking. But
that is Zach's personality.
It is.
Because literally, if you tell him to do something, he'll be like, no.
No.
I'm not doing that.
Well, but that was the thing. I've tried that. I know that I don't like that and it didn't sit well and it made me nauseous. You're not getting me to put that in to see how I do with it.
I had to do the same thing, though, is that I was on a liquid diet for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to drink it, but I was like, that's the only thing I'm getting, so I might as well just suck it down.
I'll use my other one, because they said you could bring your own.
Just, I like to put them in there right
away. I was just going to throw in, that's kind of a gender thing.
What?
Girls, we'll just deal with it.
True. That's a good point.
We're told all the time to deal with it.
Yeah.
You have to make the best of it, put a fucking smile on your face, and move on with your goddamn day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dudes can totally, especially white dudes, can totally, no offense, can totally be like, yeah, I don't fucking want it. Give me something else.
Yeah.
Nope. Hold that up. Nope. I will stop eating. Something
else. I will stop eating. Yeah.
And then they get something different.
So, well, they said you could bring, you know, and a lot of people don't ask.
No, you know, I didn't even think about it.
They said, you know.
Yeah, I didn't think it was an option.
Well, because I'm like, okay, you told me what to do, so I'm going to do it. Yeah.
And see, everyone has different tastes. Like, yeah, some people absolutely love that glucose stuff.
Some people
can't stand it. And I was one of them. Like, all right, we give you a free one. Take a sip of it. See how you like it. It touched my tongue in the straw, and I blew it right back into that straw.
I don't even think I had that. I think the only thing I had was Premier. And that's what they gave me.
Yeah, I went to Costco because Kaiser only sells that stuff in there.
I keep forgetting that it was Kaiser and not.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, because you're in Kaiser Permanente. Mm-hmm. Right?
That makes more sense.
And, but they're really good about working. You know, if you can't do this, you don't want to do that or this, they'll let you, as long as it's still the same thing. They said they don't care what shakes you have, as long as you're getting 1,000 calories a day.
Well, and they want the protein. They're like, you've just
1,000 calories a day? Jeez. Yeah.
That's what they wanted you before surgery.
Before surgery.
Yeah. Oh, okay. After, I was going to say after, like.
Yeah, so.
I can't, wait. Do you guys remember what it was after surgery? Because I don't.
I just remember it was 64 grams of protein.
Yeah.
If I remember, the goal was to get two of the Premier shakes down a day.
At least. That was mine, yeah, at least.
And I never got that. Never once
so
did
you do? So what did you do?
Yeah, Zach, what'd you do?
Yeah. Tell us a little story, Zach.
Okay, so I sipped on the Premier, tried it cold, tried it half frozen, because it makes a little milkshake, gives you something to crunch on, which is nice, because you miss the crunchiness.
You do. We've talked about that.
Ice cubes. Melanie's favorite ice cubes, which are hard to find except for Pilot, and now most 7-Elevens have those crunchy cubes.
Sonic.
Yes, I bought a bag of that ice from Sonic.
That was fucking ridiculous.
Sonic is on the other end of town.
It is.
Pilot was by my house, so.
I wonder if you could have them deliver just ice.
Yeah.
Actually,
Uber Eats or bag of ice.
Yes.
Actually, I prefer Pilot's better than Sonic, though.
Is it
for ice because it's like shaved?
Well, yeah, I actually started in 7-Elevens ice.
I don't think I've...
The new ones around that they've changed over have the same, like, what the Arby's out south used to have that you used to love.
Yeah, okay. So, what's stupid about this is that I live 3 houses down from a 7-Eleven, so if that shit goes in my 7-Eleven, I'll be fucking...
Every time she'd come over to my house, she'd be like, I just have to stop off at Sonic really quick and I'll be there.
Oh, in the summertime, I go and get iced tea from Sonic. And you know what's annoying? Okay. Other side note. So Sonic, actually any place does this to me because I like iced tea, right?
Yeah.
So I always go, can I get a large iced tea with extra ice?
Yeah.
And they're like, do you want sweet or unsweet?
Unsweet.
And I'm like, unsweet. And they're like, okay. And I get annoyed by that because you can't unsweeten a tea.
Would you like tea or sweetened tea?
Thank you.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
Because I'm like, what the? I just want my fucking tea. Don't put any sweetened. No, I don't want nothing.
Have you ever had it put in anyways and taken a sip.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
When your brain wants the tea and this like peach weirdness comes up, you're like, yeah,
fuck you.
Yeah, you got it wrong. I don't have to be the asshole that comes around because I didn't pay $3 for this damn thing for it to not be correct. So.
Right?
Yeah, when that happens, I go back to the thing and I just order it. I don't say that it was wrong. I just order it, let them go through, ring it all up, and I pull up and I go, I'll trade you. Let them deal with it.
Why does that just not surprise me?
That's exactly
Do your job.
You have one job. Yeah, you have one job. Yep. That's true. Just give me an unsweetened, a tea, an iced tea.
I think this is why B and I have gotten along for so long, is that we do have high expectations for people. You're like, you have one thing, like,
and I'm like, if you screw it up, I'm like, it depends. If I wanted it really, really, really bad, then I will say something. But I don't know why, but I just don't say anything. Like, I have gone through Starbucks and gotten the wrong freaking order, and I can't drink it, but I don't say anything.
Oh, my God. Fuck that. No. You know what? We work too goddamn hard for a goddamn dollar for them to fuck up my goddamn meal. Okay?
But when you know
your fucking worth, I've worked my ass off since, like, I could. Okay? Yeah. So, no. I want my goddamn tea not be sweetened. Your fucking drink better be right. Like, I don't care if you make a mistake. That's totally fine. I get it. You're human. Yeah. I worked at Arby's for fucking almost 3 years. Yeah. I get it. Like, it's shitty. But just be nice when I go, hey, this isn't correct.
Exactly.
That's all I care about.
Well, and I will say, I have gone back through Starbucks and done what you did but I tell them at the thing, like, hey, you guys screwed up my order last time. Can you give me what I ordered? And they do. You just have to be nice about it.
I was being nice. I didn't berate them. I just said, you know, I'd like one of these, please. And I went up and I said, here, I'll trade you.
Now, if you could see his face, like,
that's true.
Whatever.
Sarcasm all over it.
On track.
Yeah.
Okay.
So after surgery, I ended up, I think I went about 4 days and I tried eggs.
Wow.
Four fucking days?
Yep.
How did that feel?
Oh, the eggs were amazing. It had been 3 weeks since I ate anything solid.
Well, yeah, but you're not supposed to for 2 weeks after surgery.
Not supposed to.
Oh, gosh.
But
did it hurt
at all? No, because you'll learn real quick if there's ways to cook things and there's ways to not. Some people like their eggs burnt. They had the brown on them. Mm. The brown gets stuck. Mm. You leave them a little runny, they work just great. So you have to start taking into account in your mind what things are going to get stuck and what aren't.
That's true. You absolutely have to think about that when you're eating, because olives,
like, yes, we both get, like, we can't. You eat like two olives and then you're full.
Yeah.
I have the same problem, except I don't eat vegetables, so I couldn't tell you that olives are a problem.
Oh my gosh. So literally everything that comes out of Zach's mouth during this episode, just don't do what he does.
This is a bad example. It really is.
It is. But I feel like it's important to hear what not to do.
Right.
Don't be like Zach.
Not even just that. It's just like, this is real. Like, yes, this is really what people do.
But I also feel that people such as me that don't listen and don't do this and don't do that also are the same people that are still sitting behind a desk. So they're like, oh, I've lost all the weight. I'm not moving as much, but I've lost all the weight. And then they start eating because they're sitting, and that's what balloons them.
No, I think what balloons them is they're not coping with their problems, and they're still looking towards food.
Exactly.
And what you're doing is looking towards alcohol.
Yes.
That is the case. Yeah. But the thing is I feel like I know that I'm doing it. It's not like I'm saying I don't have a problem.
Right. Yeah.
And some days it can be, some weeks I'll go an entire week, and this whole everything being shut down thing is really killing, like going to the bar.
Yeah, the COVID is happening right now. It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So now instead of going to the bar and drinking alone, now I sit at home and drink alone. So it makes it worse.
It does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really does. But it does. Which has slowed my drinking. You know, I think I drank the other day. I didn't drink last night.
So you're taking control of it because you're, like, monitoring yourself?
Yeah. You know, it's not like that's good. Like, oh, where'd that whole bottle go last night?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not. Like, it's that one drink or beer, and some nights it's just a shitty night. And
Well, because, like, if I do that with alcohol, too, and when I am drinking, like, I will stagger the shots, you know, because you got to be careful. And
sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes.
She just called you out.
She totally just called me out. Because I can be a total dick and be like, yeah, that was for a fucking wake. So
it was.
I remember that. You two were.
I still have not taken a drop of, like, drink any alcohol.
You know what's crazy about that? You know what today is?
What?
It's Uncle Charles's birthday.
Aww.
So it's, like, kind of cool that, like, boom, there you go. Happy birthday, Uncle Charles.
No. So we mentioned him.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Uncle Charles.
Yeah. It was for his wake. And, yeah, I had a lot of shots of tequila.
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah, I hadn't seen you in a while.
I know.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, come over. Hammered. And yeah.
She was talking, like, me and Zach were looking at each other just laughing because of the things that Melanie was saying.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That is one thing I did like about, like, surgery is that now, like, you can only have, if you have a couple shots, you're done. You don't need to be.
Oh, yeah, you're not just drinking and drinking and drinking.
It's over.
It will either knock you over and you pass out or you're out of room.
Yeah, you're definitely not drinking a bottle.
Yeah, that's why you're supposed to stagger. Like, I'll do, like, a shot an hour.
Oh, that
keeps it
So if you level. Choose to drink.
You know, so that's what I would do.
I definitely do miss wine.
Yeah.
Like, just a glass of wine when, like, I'm taking a bath or, you know, like, relaxation. Because I was definitely not a drinker. I mean, past me.
But you can eventually get to there. You're just, you know, you haven't hit your year yet.
Yeah.
Like, there's levels to this. So, because eventually you totally can kill because you're underneath your goal weight.
I am.
So, like, I'm sure that one glass of wine would be fine for you. Yeah,
but in my brain, it's not.
Which is good.
An option.
Yep. It shouldn't be. Not yet.
So, I mean, it's the same with, like, so I did have a tortilla the other day and it was glorious. But other than that, like, in my brain, I don't eat bread. I don't eat rice.
Right.
I don't eat those things. So that's kind of one of the things that is with that concept is don't drink anymore.
What made you eat the – why did you even try it?
Sorry about that. So I don't know. I just – like I was literally heating them up for my sister-in-law because we were having dinner over there.
Okay.
And it just looked good.
Okay.
And so – I was like, okay, if I have a tortilla, it doesn't mean that I get to have a tortilla every single day. Like, this is literally, like, once in a blue moon.
Just be careful with that. Because you're only how many months in?
Almost a year.
Okay. Just be careful.
I know. It's those. But then I make healthier choices. Like, with last night, there was strawberry shortcake. Or I could have a protein bar when I got home. So I kind of made the choice of strawberry shortcake or protein, which I chose the protein because I needed the protein.
Yes.
So even though I really wanted to eat the strawberry shortcake and then go home and have the protein bar, I didn't.
And the only reason I'm getting hard on you guys is just because, like, I'm just seeing my own consequences just played out for this last year.
Yeah.
So because I was, like, super just on it.
Yeah.
And I know why it changed. Mm-hmm. My routine totally got fucked up. When your routine gets fucked up, it's really hard to stay on track.
Yep.
Because I was like, not only did my gym routine change, like I had a new job, I had a new house. Like, yep.
Well, and you were living in a completely different area.
Yeah. So like a lot of things happened at once. My routine got really fucked up. And so my routine and then my eating started to like go a little bad.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so now I'm reaping that now because now I have to work my butt off to get back to where I already was.
Yeah.
That's where I get mad.
Well, and I'm very aware of my weight. So I know. If it climbs in any way, shape, or form, I will be like on top of my eating.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that you have anything to worry about because you're like 20 pounds underneath.
Almost 20, yeah.
Yeah. So you're fine. It's just...
Well, but I mean, there's that natural 10 to 15 pounds that you're going to gain after the first year.
Yeah.
And I know that. So I think that's kind of in my brain of like, okay. I want to get down to a spot that even if I gain that weight, I'm still within my goal weight.
Smart.
So I don't know if it's accurate, but, you know,
because that's what happened is I stopped keeping track. So, but Oh, he's back to Zach.
I only weigh maybe once a week, if even that. Sometimes once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Did you always just weigh once a week?
Every Thursday, because my surgery was on a Thursday. So it was every Thursday I would weigh. And I have a little book where I drew a picture of me, and I measured my head, my neck, my chest, like all the way down.
Yeah.
And I actually haven't redone the measurements.
Oh, you should.
Since I need to, but I haven't.
Yeah, because your 1 year just happened, right?
In February, yeah.
Yeah, so you should have done it then.
I should have, but nothing's really changed in...
In a year?
I mean, from February to now. Like, same weight.
Oh, true.
Pants fit the same, everything.
Yeah, but you can still lose inches, even if you're not seeing, like, the progress on the scale or in the clothes. Like, you can still...
Yeah, so measure yourself now.
Just do it.
Do it. Do it. Do it for the
listeners. Peer pressure. Just give in.
All right. I'll get around to it.
No, you'll feel good because it'll be...
Yeah. It'll be different to see the actual inches gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Kelly just did that too with inches. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's almost, I think it's like right around 6 feet that I've lost.
That's crazy.
I bet you've lost more.
Oh, I'm quite a bit concerned. I used to wear a size 54 pant and I'm in 36s now.
Holy moly.
Wow.
So how does it feel to be this small, dude?
It's definitely different. Like I remember walking into a restaurant and the first thing you do when you walk in the door, if it's not a restaurant you're in all the time, is you look at the type of tables they have. Is it a booth?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or is it just tables with chairs?
Yeah.
And then you look under the table to see if it's a table that moves or if it's mounted to the wall.
Yeah. Mm.
And then as your
belly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember, for instance, Applebee's, I'd sit there at one of the booths and my stomach would sit against the table.
Oh.
And especially if they, and so you would put like me and my mom on one side and then the kids on the other because we could slide the table a little bit, or you would just cockeye the table. And then, I don't know, I think it was maybe 5 months ago, I finally sat in a booth again after surgery.
Oh, nice. How'd that feel?
I feel like I shrunk.
Yeah. Well, you did like kind of shrink.
The table was higher and I had a good, I don't know, foot between me and the table.
That's
and I'm like,
good.
What is going on here?
Yeah. I'm so
like
crazy.
A little kid sitting at the table with my arms up. It's like, what is going on?
That's a non-scale victory.
It was definitely different. That and the seatbelt in my truck.
Ooh.
You know, I used to, with a seatbelt extender.
Okay, I was going to ask if you had a seatbelt extender.
Just maybe an inch or two pulled away from my chest.
Wow.
Okay. Now without a seatbelt extender, I mean, I'm a foot away from my chest.
Wow.
So it's like, this is so weird.
Yeah.
So it's all little things you kind of think about. I'd never drive a car, and my car, I get in and out, and before I had to roll out of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So many strange things.
I didn't see you the last few years before.
No.
And like you text me and stuff about me doing the surgery. So like we talked a little bit about it. So I'm glad you did it.
I am too.
Going through, you know, I wanted to do it for a year or two before I separated with my ex, but every time I brought it up, it was, what, so you can get skinny and leave me?
Mm.
And so there was no support, and I knew that until I dealt with that, that I wouldn't be successful.
Smart move.
In that. So
How's everybody else in the family like, supporting you-wise?
Mom was nervous.
Okay.
Mom lectures me every time she sees me.
Good for her.
Well, I love your mom.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
But she lectures me because I come in and steal her bacon.
Delicious.
Walk out with like 4 or 5 pieces in my hand. Where are you going? I'm going home. It's already cooked. I mean, I don't think I go through the work. And I got protein. So bacon is great protein.
It is.
It is. Just watch your cholesterol.
It's protein. You get one or the other.
He's going protein.
Hey, I'm okay with that. He's not eating a sandwich right now.
True. That's a good point. I'll give you that.
But so, you know, she always is lecturing me about, you know, are you staying on your weight? Are you eating this? Are you eating that? When's the last time you ate? I ate just fine. I'm good. So.
Do you find it, like, annoying, or do you love that she's kind of checking on you and you have that kind of constant reminder?
I appreciate the thought that's behind it, but again, I'm 35 years old.
Yeah, but she's always going to be your mama.
She is, but I don't need to be babysat is my thing.
Yeah.
I don't like it when I was in a relationship and it's where you at, what are you doing, where are you going to be? Where I don't like the babysitting. I'm an adult. If I'm going to make a stupid choice, you're either going to know about it or you're not, I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. But no, She was real nervous, like especially the month or two before the surgery.
Yeah.
She was, you sure you're going to do this? You sure you want to do this? A big life change, a lot of change. And I thought about backing out of it just because that eating that whole pizza and eating this, like I'm going to miss food.
Yeah.
And then my grandma passing away, like I was actually 2 days into my liquid diet when she passed away.
Oh,
that's tough.
So the first thing I did, and this is what really made me realize how much I turned to food. The first thing I did after I left the hospital was ask the girls what they wanted to eat. And I go, you guys can have whatever you want for dinner. Let me know. I go, doesn't have to be the same place. Yeah. And that's where it clicked. It's like, my grandma just passed away, and the first thing I want is food.
Yeah, you went and got the food.
Yep. I didn't eat. I drank a protein shake. But
that's awesome. Good job. Props on that.
Made me sit and realize how much food was my coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Well.
It is. I mean, my mom was super nervous, and she was so unsure about it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to make you come and meet my surgeon. Because I need you on board with this, because me and my mom are super, super close. And so I was like, I need you to be able to support me. And I don't want to feel like you are disappointed in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So it was
smart.
Once she met my surgeon, she was like, oh, yeah, she's really good. I was like, yeah,
she knows what she's
doing. You ask so many good questions. I'm like, well, kind of a life altering thing here.
I think our moms were kind of like, oh, they are adults now. Because we're made, this is a huge decision. And once they realize you're making that decision, you're like, oh, they're not my little girl or little boy anymore. Like, this is huge.
Yeah.
So.
And the difference you two had compared to me is you guys both have relationships. Both married.
Yeah.
I did it by myself.
Yeah.
So I didn't have, you guys had support people. My support people, I mean, yeah, I had a few friends that said they were supportive and, you know, you're doing good, blah, blah.
Right.
But no one saw me when I was in the hospital. Like, my mom was there that day. Okay. And then as soon as I was awake, she left. No one came up.
Oh, wow.
And I was there for, you know, that whole night.
Where were you at?
The whole night up at Sunnyside in Clackamas.
Okay. And was it in a Kaiser Permanente place?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
A hospital up there. And then the whole next day, all by myself, just sitting there watching TV. And then the next day till about noon when they kicked me out, but all by myself.
So who drove you home?
My mom. She came up and got me.
Okay. But your daughters didn't?
No one came to visit. No one, nothing.
Was that rough?
It was, but it's, I don't know, it's one of those things where I've kind of always just relied on myself. I don't ask for help. I don't.
Yeah.
It was even hard enough to ask my mom to take me.
Mm.
Because then I'm relying on someone to take me. But, yeah, the girls didn't come up. My mom never came up the next
day. Nothing.
Nobody.
Wow.
Because I feel like an asshole, but I actually don't even know. I don't think you ever told me when it was happening.
I didn't even know you were having it.
I think I mentioned that I was going to do it.
Yeah, but
I
don't think you ever gave me a date.
No.
No,
because I didn't tell anybody about it. It was one of those, why do people need to know? I keep my circle.
There's so much alike on that
one.
Well, I keep my circle very small.
Yeah.
I don't like people.
Yeah.
For the most part.
And yeah, that's accurate.
So... just saying.
It's accurate.
So I don't like people. So why go and tell people that you only talk to once every couple months that, hey, this is what's going on?
Yeah, it's true. It's none of their business, really.
So it's just...
I get it.
By myself.
Melanie was the same way. I mean, she kept it... I mean, nobody really knew outside of our little circle that she was having surgery.
Right.
That's it.
And, I mean...
Well, because if you're not in my close circle, why do you need to know?
Right.
Whereas I share everything.
So that's kind of the deal. So I totally understand it because, I had, I did have, like you said, I had someone with me. Like Eric was with me, my mom was with me.
Yeah.
And I would have just assumed, like, even if you told me the date, I probably wouldn't have came up. Because I would assume that your mom and your brother and your dad would have been there, the girls. Mm-hmm. And I would, like, because friends are normally not, like, the first person you want to see after that kind of surgery. Right. At least I know I don't.
I wouldn't care. So
it was definitely weird to just...
I felt so much shame. I had so much shame, though. There's no way I'd let a friend see me.
Really?
Why?
Yeah. Why?
Yeah, why?
I don't know. I just always...
See, and
you're
going to
make her cry.
It was. Stop see, it. And I look at it like it's not shame. It's you're doing what you think is best for you.
I know, but I felt the shame of like having my friend see me. Like
she
that.
Didn't. So it's hard for her to put that out there because she doesn't want to look at she doesn't want people to look at her as she was a, like, as a failure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's the deal. Because you know me, I'm tough, Melanie. I've always been tough. So it's like, it's frustrating that I let myself get so big. I was mad at myself. So I was just like, I'm not going to let you guys see me like this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see myself like this.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
So, yeah. Like.
And that's when, like, someone sneaks a picture of you and then you see it, like, holy crap.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You never saw that size.
Mm-mm, no.
Not at all. And then you see it and it's like, who's that?
Mm-hmm. I don't like looking at old photos, mm-hmm. do you?
No. No. Yeah. When they pop across Facebook. And so, like, now I do, because you see it, like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And then you, like, look at yourself. But even sometimes now, I still see fat me.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We definitely.
It's mm-hmm. strange to, there's still a lot of things you see, and it's like, you have to remind yourself that that's not you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. And it's hard for you. So we have an episode about body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
Where we cover all of that. And it's, your mind hasn't had a chance to catch up. So you've lost all this weight. Mm-hmm. And so you'll see it sometimes, but then other times you're like, no, I'm still the same weight that I was. And it's like, well, you realistically did not gain 200 pounds overnight.
Right.
So the chances of that are very slim, but your brain just still sees the weight that you were at before.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of times at the place I work that I can't stand. They're like, hey, you need to crawl inside this machine. And I'm like, is there a secret door somewhere? I'm not fitting down there. And the old man's like, I can get in there. I guess I do fit then. Here I go.
Yeah.
Nice.
But it's still trying to wrap your head around it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Putting on shirts, and when I'm separating clothes and I can't tell the difference between mine and my daughter's.
That's
because
crazy.
They're the same size.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I'm like, where are all my shirts? Bianca's like, you're giving them to me. No, I'm not. Give them back.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
In our household, we all wear the same size shirt right now.
That's so funny.
It's weird. It's like, all right, which one of you girls took my shirt?
Yeah.
Chloe comes in. She used to wear my 5X t-shirts and my 6X, and they would be gigantic her. And well, now she steals mine, and she's like, this is my nightgown now. I'm like, no, you're not taking one of my good shirts. Find something else.
So are you a medium or a large?
I'm in a 1X or 2X, depending on what comfort and how it shrinks the first time you wash it.
Yeah, the material.
Yeah, work clothes I buy, sometimes you buy a 2X because it's going to shrink, and it doesn't, and you're swimming in it. And sometimes you buy a 1X and it shrinks and can't even get it over your arm.
Yep.
You just can't win.
Every clothing line is different.
Yep.
I've learned that. Like, I always thought Nike ran small. No, they really don't.
Mm-mm.
No, we ran big.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah, I had no idea. I think it was all to trick my brain into be like, no, they run small.
Nike sucks.
Yeah. No, because when you go into Nike and you're like, oh, I just fit into my size small shirts and pants. That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh. And I think that was one of my, like, goals, was to fit into, like, Nike, where you can go in and, like, just buy it off the rack.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to order it or anything like that.
Or even go to a big and tall store somewhere. Mm-hmm. Or it's nice to just walk into a store and be like, yeah, I'll take these size 34, 36 pants, and mm-hmm. I don't even need to try them on. I know that's what I wear.
Yeah, you already know. Yeah.
Shoe shopping was different.
Oh, yeah? Did you lose some weight in your feet?
I went from a size 14 wide to just a 12.
Nice. Wow, two sizes. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But then I think about it, and, like, you can see all your bones and things in your feet mm-hmm. now. And mm-hmm. before, it was just big, fat sausage toes and feet. And it's like,
you never, like, you don't notice until you look, like, side by sides help me so much, because I'll look back through my photos and I'll be like, holy crap, were my feet that fat?
Yeah. Or do you ever now just, like, extend them and just, like, look at them? Because you're like, oh, yeah.
I wiggle your toes. Like,
even, oh, look at the bone.
Even my hands, when I do that, seeing the veins. I haven't seen veins in my hands in, 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
You know? Yeah. I already had to downsize my ring 3 sizes. I think it was, like, 3 sizes.
Yeah.
I was like, holy crap. Because I never made my ring bigger. As I gained weight, I just would, like, force it on my finger.
Or leave it on.
Or just leave it on. Yeah, because I didn't want to admit that I had gained weight. And so when I got to go in and resize it. And they were like, oh, yeah, you're like three sizes down. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Because that's going from tight, tight, tight.
Yeah,
that's to crazy. Now it's loose. So.
Yeah, I had to resize mine twice. Cause yeah. So, because I've always been big, so I was like, yeah, my Sasha's fingers. But now it's my first crazy, like, the bone thing was the ribs. Can you see your ribs?
Oh, yeah, especially when I lay down, like, my rib cage, and then it drops, like, 3 inches down to my stomach.
Yeah.
And I just lay there, and like, stop sucking in. I go, I'm not. I'm just laying here.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the way it is. Like, I can stick my fingers under my rib cage now, and it's just weird.
So crazy. I saw in the mirror, and I was like, what is that?
Yeah. Or the collarbones. Like, what are these things?
The collarbones are my favorite.
Uh-huh. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah. I've never, that was the weird thing. Like, even when I was at my lowest, in like high school, 170-ish, I don't think I ever had collarbones the way I do now. And I love it.
I love it.
Well, I put on my high school ring. I found it going through some stuff.
Ooh.
And it's actually too big for my finger.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What about any of your jerseys or Leatherman jackets?
Leatherman is too big. I tried that on the other day. Jersey Bianca was wearing for... what was it? Halloween or something this year. And I never tried it on, but...
You can try it on.
That's really cool.
My best guess is weird, like, to put my Letterman jacket on and I go like this. You know, the famous, you put your arms out like, this is too big.
And it's kind of crazy because, like, you're smaller than you were in high school.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. It was,
what did you weigh in high school?
Like 280, 300 pounds-ish.
Yeah.
Really?
I never. Towards my senior year when I was playing football towards the end, yeah.
I never.
But a lot of it was muscle. Like, I spent a lot of time in the gym because I played football.
Yeah. And you did a lot of, like, the construction work, which is what you still do.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I should have never got out of that.
Yeah.
Because that getting out of the activity really helped balloon the weight up.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, going from when I was working in a dental office and then to being bedridden, I mean, you very easily just... shoot up and wait.
Yeah, because all you can do is eat.
Exactly.
What else do you do?
Yep.
Yeah. So how's single life now that you're small?
Well, it's actually, I'm enjoying it.
Because, I bet you are.
So before, you know, looking at my size, I'd see a cute girl and I wouldn't even bother.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter what my personality is. I feel like no one would even take a chance to look past it.
Okay.
So I never even bothered. Now it's like, hey, where are you going? Come back here. That's just how it works.
The confidence is through the roof.
Oh, it's crazy.
That's awesome. I love it.
So, it's great. You know, but I also haven't changed my profile picture on Facebook.
Why though?
I didn't even realize that.
Because I figure if someone's going to be interested in me, it shouldn't matter what I look like.
Oh.
So I just leave that there.
Wow.
Okay.
And my profile is not like, it's not like I hide anything. Mm-hmm. So you scroll through, you'll see new pictures.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, why hide that I was that big at one point?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So I don't.
And good job.
I've kind of, you know how there's Facebook dating?
There is.
Okay, so there's a phase. Yeah.
We've been married for like.
You guys need to get out.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
No, I'm so good.
There's a Facebook dating, and I just kind of was curious on how it all worked.
Okay.
So it's pretty much just like yes, no, yes, no, and you just run through it.
Okay.
And so, like, all right, well, I left my profile, the normal one, the big one, nothing for like 2 weeks. I changed it for a week, and I had like 7 or 8. Different people liking me.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is what's annoying. I'm the same person. Still an asshole. Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
I'm just skinnier about it.
Yep.
Other than that, same old asshole.
Well, our last episode was about stigma, about like, about fat people. And that's kind of the thing, is that they just don't want to.
Yeah,
they think we're lazy and
smell bad. Yeah,
that could be one. Yeah,
yeah, but it's just
quick and easy.
Can't go and do anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're always going to be the one eating all the food. They're like, no, it's just And I remember going to a buffet and they're all. You feel like everybody is watching, even if this is your only plate that you're going to eat, and you feel like everybody's wondering how much food that guy's had.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. I've never had that feeling.
Nope.
No, not that feeling. Oh, I will not eat and drive when I was bigger. No fucking way.
I still won't do that because I don't want people to think that I'm fat.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't wait to get home to scarf this down.
Yeah.
Like, I've never, like, even at my highest or my lowest, like, I can't.
I can do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can't.
It was not a lot of food. Yeah. We're on a road trip. I'm not hiding fucking food anymore.
Okay, I would do it for Chick-fil-A.
I would do anything
for Chick-fil-A.
True. That's a good point.
I can't wait till that one opens here.
I know.
In Kaiser. Yeah. There's supposed to be a Chick-fil-A. And we are all very excited because Marcus doesn't care. But I care because... Chick-fil-A is life.
I'm tired of driving to Clackamas for it.
Right? I almost took a road trip the other day to go up there, and then I'm glad I didn't because it was Sunday and they're closed on Sundays. So that would have been bad.
Yeah. No, we, between that, I remember when I was working, driving semi-truck, stopping, and I'd go to McDonald's, and like you said, they're like, oh, I'll take two of these and two of those and one of those. And I would start eating on my way and it'd be gone in 10 minutes. I'd have like four burgers gone in 10 minutes. Wow. Like, what in the world just happened?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And eating so fast, you're still hungry.
Yeah.
Because you don't give your body time to say, you need to stop.
Yeah, catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, once you started actually going through the program and realizing what you're doing to yourself, it starts like, God, I can't believe I just did that.
Yeah. It starts clicking.
Yeah.
Slowly, but it starts clicking.
Little things like, did you really need that when you could have had this? Well, yeah, but that's better.
It tastes better. It's not better for you.
I didn't say it was better for you. I just said it was better. You look at it one way, I look at it the other.
Potato, potato.
Ooh, I like potatoes.
So we have, I just had a couple other ones because we had mentioned me and Melanie get cold all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same with you.
Oh, all the time.
So because I literally, there's sometimes where she's in my car and she's like, it's too hot. It's too hot in here. Turn it down. And I'm like freezing.
Face doesn't get that cold, but I grew a beard because it was starting to get cold. Keeps the wind off. But yeah, my toes are frozen right now. My ass cheeks are asleep because someone chose a wooden stool to sit on. But that's a whole other thing.
That's what we have.
I'm just saying. But yeah, cold all the time. Okay. Before it was once the fluff got cold, it took forever to warm up. Yeah. Now I'm just always cold.
Yeah.
And it's miserable. it was hot the other day and I still had a sweatshirt on.
Jeez. Yes, thank you. Understand the pain.
We're getting there.
Yep.
Because, it's a battle every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to bring a heating pad with me. Because now I'm working from home.
Yeah.
It gets really cold because I have, all those windows. And so, but I want to be able to see outside. Yeah. So, I have to bring my heating pad out there. Then I have to bring it back to the bedroom. I'm not going to have a heating pad in every fucking room.
I literally walk around in my bathrobe all day. Every day.
I don't blame you.
Because it's a big fluffy bathroom.
Yeah, and I used to leave the heat in my house at 62. I just wouldn't turn it on. If it got below 62, then I would turn it on. Now it's 68 all the time. I bought a heating blanket for my bed because the sheet and comforter isn't enough.
Mm.
And trying not to move at all through the entire night because that little sliver is what's warm. And that is it used to be.
I washed the cover on my weighted blanket. And oh my gosh, the night that I didn't have it, I was so cold because I didn't have that weight kind of
helps
keeping me warm.
That really helps.
Then one of the nice things though is I'm off my CPAP machine.
Yeah, I was gonna say what's been the coolest changes? That are super awesome.
So you think about it, let's say I want to go stay the night at some girl's house. Okay. Back along my CPAP machine.
You don't have to bring it.
No snoring, no
nothing. Okay.
Before I would stop breathing 140 times an hour.
Holy crap. Yeah.
And now it's gone. I don't have it anymore.
Awesome. Were you on any medication and now blood off pressure. Of them?
I had high blood pressure and water retention because my legs were the size of a truck, pretty much. My calves were just gigantic. But no, I'm off everything. My blood pressure is 111 over 65 or 70. And
there you go.
It's just get the weight off. And
overall, you're happy with your decision? Wouldn't change anything?
Wouldn't change a thing. Would have done it sooner.
Skin.
I have extra skin. This is kind of weird. You'll enjoy it. I think I was about 3 months in, or 3 months after surgery, and I was brushing my teeth one day, and I thought one of the kids were clapping for me. And I'm like, I'm doing good. I just kept brushing away. Next thing I know, it's my arm flapping against my titty, clapping for me, brushing my teeth.
Oh, no. Yeah, so good.
Sometimes so I'll good. Be shoveling at work, and I'll hear a clap. I'm like, so, yeah, I got a little extra under the arm.
Okay.
A little around the waist.
Okay.
But, like, not enough where it impedes anything. I was reading online of a guy that has it so bad that he's off work and can't even use the bathroom. He has to pee in the shower because it hits under his stomach and into the shower.
Oh, that's bad. That sucks.
That's really bad.
But, no, I got maybe an extra inch or two that hang down past my belt. But okay. I got another 6 months, and then I can go see about having that removed.
Are you going to do the skin surgery?
I'm going to do my man boobs and my stomach and okay. maybe my wings.
Your arms?
Your yep. wings and arms. That's the one I'm, like, I would never do is my arms.
Those ones you're scared of.
No. Yeah.
That is a sensitive spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I want to get rid of the man boobs and the stomach. Arms I'm not that worried about
because yeah.
I can maybe define them a little more, mm-hmm. but it's the stomach and the boobs.
Do some push-ups. Yeah. You'll be good.
Yeah, get on that.
Yeah, because I don't work enough for working out.
Do you do push-ups?
I lift shit and carry things all day long.
I don't hear push-ups.
I don't hear push-ups either. He's like, peace out, I'm done.
I don't like you two right now.
So is your insurance covering the skin surgery?
They won't.
They won't.
So you have to pay out of pocket?
Yeah, the way it works is if you have rashes... mm-hmm. And you can prove the rashes.
That's still a thing that they'll do. It.
Or your skin has to hang below your knees.
Below your knees? That's ridiculous.
That's insane.
But, I mean, if, like, for instance, that's that guy,
if it's that bad,
like, mm-hmm. I mean, who would think you just can't lift it up? And, like, you lift your shirt up so you can pee. He's actually doing the motions right now.
Yeah, so it's pretty irritating.
I'm a physically... visual person here. But so, I mean, and I've known of people, but the thing is when they cover that surgery through insurance, it's like a hack job. They don't give you a belly button back. They go straight across, straight down, take the extra skin. And it's not clean. It's not something you want to walk around in a bikini in. Wow. It's just to get rid of the extra skin.
A plastic surgeon.
So if you want a belly button and you want to do it, I know that they were talking about adjusting the price where they would take what it would cost for them to do the surgery and paying a surgeon that part and you having to do the difference.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool.
But that was part of their change in how they cover things.
Well, you're gonna if you get the surgery, I have to come back and tell these people all about it.
Yeah. I have a friend that went through class with me that was scheduled to, like 3 days ago to have everything. She was going to have boobs, stomach. It was like 28 grand. Yeah. And because of this, she got it pushed off till like July. She's not that happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, so what's the dating world like with the skin? Is that a thing?
I'm honest about everything that happened, like that I've had the surgery and this and that. And no one has said there was an issue. But I also am more of a kind of seeing what's all out there. Like I'm not going for the 100-pound little tiny thing, and I'm just kind of seeing
what you like.
Seeing what fits. And I know that looks aren't everything, so I go more for personality a lot of times also. And if you can't have a conversation with someone, why?
Seriously, there's no point.
If they just sit there because they look pretty and you're like, yeah, hey, well, let's go do this, and they just sit there and say nothing, it's no fun.
That's so boring.
Right.
Yeah.
But dating's fun.
Okay. Good. I'm glad because I want like the guys like to think like, hey, this is good. Like this is like you should do it. So.
Oh, yeah, because you sit home miserable otherwise.
Yeah,
like being 400 pounds, you don't even in your mind you'd be nice to have someone to snuggle with or to go to the beach with, and it's like I get tired walking in the sand.
Everyone
does, but God, walking in the sand. Now you look for wet sand just so it's easier to walk. But no, it makes a It definitely has made life a lot happier.
Good.
And on that note, we are going to leave it there.
Yeah.
And we want to thank Zach for coming in.
Thank you for coming.
And letting us pick your brain.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it.
Good. All right. Thanks for joining us tonight, today, whatever, you know.
Peace out.
Whatever. Peace.
Hey, listeners, if you enjoyed your time with us, please rate, review, and subscribe on any platform you get your podcast.
Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Join us on patreon.com/OSLP, where you can get exclusive content.
We would like to give a big thank you to Anne-Marie Cruz for our logo,
Eric Vaughn for our music,
Nick Dukes for our graphic and web designs,
and of course, the most amazing producer in the world, Marcus,
with Juniper Productions. Thanks for listening to Our Sleep Life,
a podcast for patients by patients.
My ass is dead. Like, oh my God.